I lost one of my bottles. Good morning. So good to see you this morning. You know, the whole world is looking for a redeemer. I don't know if you know that or not. And this morning, what I want to talk about is the fact that you have been redeemed. But the whole world is looking for a redeemer. I don't know, any of you familiar with the Avengers, the Marvel Comics series? You know, they have 22 in that series. Well, the newest one they have coming out is called The Avengers Endgame. Yeah, y'all know, who knows who's already bought tickets for that? Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but it doesn't even start playing until April the 26th, which is the Friday after Easter. But this past week, they started selling tickets. And the first day tickets went on sale, they broke the internet. They broke the internet. It's unbelievable. AMC's site crashed. Fandango's site crashed. The CEO of Fandango said, "We've never seen anything like this in our life." Previously, the biggest ticket sales in one day was the Star Wars movie, The Force Awakens. It took 24 hours, first full day of ticket sales, it became the first. In 6 hours, the Avengers Endgame beat their record and then crashed the internet. So the question that begs is this: why is this movie such a phenomenon? Those of you that already bought tickets, y'all already know. You know, because all 22 in the Marvel Comics series are going to be, every question you had is going to be answered in this one movie. And so people who've been to any of those Marvel Comics movies are going to want to come and see this one because they will have questions about different villains and different people. So they're going to find out everything you need to find out. That's one answer. The other answer is a little deeper. The other answer is we live in a culture that's starving for heroes. We live in a culture starving for heroes. Someone to come and take us out of the problems that we have and to bring us in a place of peace, of safety, of security. We're looking for heroes. And that's one of the reasons, I think, if you go back and look from the very first superhero, Superman, back in 1978, you go back to 1970, see Superman come forward. Nearly 100 movies on superheroes. It's amazing. And nearly, it seems like nearly that many just on Superman alone. But, you know, our culture is looking for heroes. Jim Dennison reports the following. Back in 2016, a movie critic named Aaron Free wrote, "Whether it's random terrorist attacks, overpopulation, rising crime rates, the threat of financial collapse, the mental hangover of global financial crisis, prejudice, ignorance, racism, infectious killer viruses are just traffic. Our world is on a constant knife edge. And in troubled times, people enjoy escapism. And perhaps they secretly wish that there were secret and superheroes around to hose down all the horrors of this world." Well, I'm here to tell you today that if you're a born-again Christian, we have a superhero. He's not a fake one that somebody made up in a storyline. He's the real superhero, Jesus. And I just want to say this to you today. It is him that we preach. We're warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's what this church is about, is you hearing the good news that we have a Redeemer. We have a Savior. We have someone that God sent to pay the price for each and every one of our sins, that we might be forgiven and that we might be put back in the place that God originally intended for us to be. He originally intended for us to be. I want to talk to you just a little bit about my story of redemption. Take a look at this handsome warrior. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's a young superhero right there. This is my picture from second grade, 7 years old. And, you know, this, I just kind of want to give you a little history lesson. For how many of you millennials in here, raise your hand. Thank you. I was expecting nothing less from you. Yeah, well, back in the olden day, we actually had to work for our allowance. Yeah, we actually had to work for our allowance. We didn't have car seats. Nobody used the seat belts. And hey, when we went on vacation, we were just a swat away from Dad and Mom. And so living back in the olden days when we had to work for our allowance, we got pretty creative and pretty entrepreneurial. And one of the things that I realized growing up was I lived on a little farm that was right outside a little community called Hickory Valley. And there was one sort of grocery store, like a convenience store is now, and with a gas station. And the man who owned that convenience store, it was called Mr. Cheek Atkinson, like your cheek. And Mr. Cheek was a hero to me. He was a hero to me because he's the first person who ever showed me a $100 bill. And back in those days, that was a lot of money. That was a lot of money. And so I just thought he was next to Jesus, really, to tell you the truth. Anybody had that much money must be really close to God. And so Mr. Cheek owned this little store. And back in the old days, you could redeem bottles. I had a little red wagon like this. Mine was a little more rusty and a little more used. But what I would do is I'd walk down my driveway to the highway. I mean, like the real highway. And then I would take a right and walk a mile and a half to Hickory Valley. I was 7, 8, 9 years old doing this. That's back in the days where nobody was afraid that someone would pick you up, kidnap you, and run off with you. They'd pick you up, kidnap you, but they'd give you back real quick. And so off I would go down the highway, and I'd pull my little wagon down through the ditch. And every time I saw a Coke bottle, I would pick up the Coke bottle, and I would put it in my wagon, and I'd keep going. Because once I got to Hickory Valley, I would be able then to exchange those Coke bottles for a nickel. For a nickel. And with that nickel, I was rich. I mean, in that moment, I could buy me a Goo Goo Cluster. Yeah. Laffy Taffy. You could get 2 for a nickel, 3 for a nickel. You know, not like today, you know, where they're 25 cents a pop. And so I would go down and I'd park my little bicycle, my little wagon right next to the front door. And I'd pull the front door open and I'd walk in and I'd start hollering for Mr. Cheek. It didn't matter who was in there. Just start hollering for Mr. Cheek. He would come to the door. I said, "Come here, Mr. Cheek. I got something to show you." And I'd say, "Look at that." And we'd count them together. And when he got through counting them, he'd take me to the cash register and give me a nickel for each one of them. Some of them weren't worth a nickel, but he'd give me a nickel for each one of them. And then I'd take that handful of nickels, I'd buy some serious candy with it. Buy some serious candy. And I'd either get Mr. Cheek or somebody in the store run me back to the house. And that's really what I did for extra money, just as a little bitty kid. And I would redeem those Coke bottles for money. I would redeem those Coke bottles for money. They, in the ditch that I pulled them out of, they'd be muddy. Some would have cigarette butts in them. Some would have just mud and sticks and all kind of stuff down in them. Some would be kind of worn looking from where they'd hit the pavement, rolled across the pavement. But every one that I could put in that wagon was a piece of Laffy Taffy. A Goo Goo Cluster, a baby roof bar. Yeah, and it was the way we made money. I don't know, some of you never heard of some of these drinks. We had Frosty Root Beer. Oh, yeah, it was awesome. We had Knee-High Grape, Knee-High Orange. And if you really wanted something good, Knee-High Peach. And we had RC Colas. We had 7-Ups. We had Sprites. We had a lot of things they have today, but some things they didn't have. RC Colas was something, I don't know if they make those anymore, but that was the big deal back in those days. And so I would take those muddy, chipped, Coke bottles that were there in the ditch on the side of the road. People would drive by and they just throw it on the side of the road as they would drive by, they'd litter. And I'd take those out, put them in my wagon, and I would exchange them. And in exchanging them, I redeemed them. And then what would happen is that they would go back to the manufacturer. The manufacturer would clean them, fill them back up with the proper beverage, seal them, and sell them again. And thereby, those dirty, cigarette, mud-filled bottles became usable. Why? Because the manufacturer brought them back to the original intent for which they were made, to have a refreshment for you. Amen? So that's what redemption is all about. And so today I want to talk to you a little bit from the scriptures about what the Bible says about redemption as we count down to Easter. You know, redemption or being redeemed is not just a New Testament concept that came into view when Jesus came here. Jesus is, of course, our Redeemer, but it's not just a New Testament concept. It's found all over the Bible. And today, when I give you the language of redemption from the Bible, you'll be able to see it when you read it. And so it's not just about the New Testament. It's really about the whole Bible. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 6, I am the Lord. I will bring you out. Everybody say out. From under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rescue you from their bondage. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. So the language of redemption begins with the problem or the predicament that you're in. So it says, I'll take you out, he says, from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I'll rescue you from bondage, right? And I will redeem you with great judgments. Then the next verse, verse 7 says, I will take you, everybody say take you. As my people, I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out. Everybody say out. Out. From under the burdens of the Egyptians. So this is the language of redemption in the Bible. The language is, I'm going to take you where you are, but I'm going to bring you out of bondage. I'm going to bring you out of Egypt. I'm going to bring you out of your burdens. And I'm going to, in order to what? In order to bring you into somewhere else. So if you've been redeemed, you've been brought out of the mud, out of the addiction, out of the self-reliance, into a whole new way of life. That's the language of redemption. It takes you out of one thing in order to bring you into another. And so if you look at both the Greek and the Hebrew, Greek being the New Testament, Hebrew being the Old Testament, what you're going to find, very, very similar parallel meanings for this word redeem or redemption. And that is bringing you out, taking you out of something. And that's what redemption is really all about. The inference being then after taking you out of something in order to bring you into something. That's the inference. So if you look at that language, he took us out of blank in order to bring us into blank. So you're going to begin seeing this as you read the Bible. He took us out of Egypt in order to bring us into the promised land. He took us out of our bondage in order to bring us into freedom. He took us out of our sicknesses and diseases in order to bring us into healing. And so we're going to see that all over the Bible. The objective in redemption is to reconcile us and to restore us back to our original place where God originally intended us to be. Here's some examples from Scripture. The first one is from Deuteronomy 24. The writer of Deuteronomy, Moses, says, but you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt. There's the predicament. Remember that. He says, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. He took you out of that. You were in a predicament. Remember, you were a slave. You were living in Egypt. You were an outcast. You were under bondage. You were burdened. What did the Lord do? Took you out of that. Why? Because he's redeeming you in order to bring you into something else. Out of slavery, out of Egypt, into the promised land. Galatians chapter 3 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And so we see, what is our predicament? The predicament is that we were born under the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? The curse of the law is that you have to live by every jot and tittle of the law, that if you mess up in one little space, you're guilty of all of it. And of course, being guilty of the law requires a sacrifice, our own death. The Bible says that all who sin, all have sinned, and they all fall short of the glory of God. That the remedy for our sin is death. And so that's the curse of the law. You have to keep it all. And so the Bible says that we've been taken out of that. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law, became a curse for us. By what? By hanging on the cross. And then he goes ahead, the next verse says that that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So he's taken us out from under the curse of the law in order to bring us into the blessing of Abraham. And the blessing of Abraham is awesome. Blessing of Abraham is, hey, I'm going to take you out of your parents' house, take you out of your country, and I'm going to make your name great, and you're going to be a blessing. And I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing. And in your descendants, all the way through all the generations, the blessing of your life will be there. And so we have a blessing of Abraham and ultimately the promise of God sending his Spirit for us. And so he takes us out from the curse of the law in order to put us into the blessing of Abraham and the promise of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So he says, we're going to redeem those who are under the law. We're going to take them out from under the law, right? And then, so why? So we can bring them into adoptions as sons and daughters. And because you are sons, God's going to send forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So the language here of redemption is clear. He's going to take us out from under the law. He's going to bring us into adoption as sons. Now, what does that mean? That means that we were born orphans, separated from our father at birth through sin. And as a result of being orphans, separated from our God, we had nobody to defend us. We had nobody to promote us. We had nobody to protect us. We had nobody. And so we learned how to do it ourselves, and we became rebellious towards God. But the language of redemption is clear. I'm going to take you out of all that stuff where you don't have to defend yourself anymore, where you don't have to promote yourself anymore, where you don't have to provide for yourself anymore. I'm going to take you to a place where you will not only be called my son and daughter, but you will become my son and daughter. And as a result of that, you will be under the secure roof of God the Father. So much so that it'll be an intimate relationship you'll have with him. He won't be some far off redeemer, but he will be someone close who cares for you, who loves you. And he'll bring you into an intimate relationship where you'll be able to call God your Abba, your Father. Look at Titus chapter 2. The Bible says that we're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In 2 weeks from today, we'll be celebrating Easter. Easter is about the hope that Jesus brought when he was resurrected from the dead. Easter is about celebrating that resurrection, the cornerstone, and we're looking forward to it. Not just the celebration of that resurrection, but the day that when we too will be resurrected and we too will join him in the heavens. And so the Bible says here that we're looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now watch this, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So we've been redeemed out of something, what? The lawless deeds, out of the impurities, out of the corruption. Into what? Into becoming his own special people. His own peeps. You be God's peeps. How awesome is that? think you go to the coffee shop, be with my peeps. This will be the biggest coffee shop you ever been in. All your peeps from all over the world that sitting at the same table at the same time. And nobody's sitting in the back row. Nobody's sitting in the second row. Everybody's at the first row at the table. That's a big table. But we'll be taken out of every lawless deed, out of every impurity, out of every corruption, into his own special people, zealous for good works. Listen to me. If you don't hear anything else today, hear this. You are God's workmanship. You've been created in Christ Jesus. You're unique. There's nobody like you. But you've been created in Christ Jesus for good works. That means that God has a plan, has a purpose, and a destiny for you from this day forward. And he's created you in such a way that along the way of life, you're going to cooperate with and collaborate with God to do great and mighty things. You say, well, I'm too old. Well, don't stop yourself. Just keep walking and see if I'm not telling the truth. God has big things in store for you. So he's going to take you out of the impurities, take you out of the corruption, and bring you into a place where you're zealous for good works, where you love walking with God because every day's an awesome adventure. That's what redemption is about. Taking you out of a dull, mundane, weird life where you're self-saturated into a place where you love being with God. Why? Because it's an adventure. It's awesome. I love being out in the country. This past weekend, I went out to go turkey harvesting. You got to say it right these days. You can't say turkey hunting, even though it's called hunting for a reason. No turkeys lost their life this weekend with me. But I was just thinking, as I was sitting out there as the dawn began to break, listening. And you hear these turkeys gobbling all over the place. And it was like a symphony of blessing to God. And I just thought, what a fortunate and blessed morning I'm having right here with Jesus. To be able to hear all this. To be able to experience all this. Thank you, Jesus. And then with the next prayer, but please bring a gobbler near me that I might harvest him and spread his sacrifice to all my children and my children's children. Yeah. And so God has made us his own special people. And he's made us zealous for good works. Colossians 1:13 says he's delivered us from the power of darkness. Look at that language in there. He's taken us out of something. So he's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So he's brought us out from under the power of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. I love that. He loves his Son. And so what does he do to show his Son that he loves him? He's brought us into that kingdom with his Son. So why? I'm not really sure other than just say one thing. Because he loves us. His love never fails. His love is everlasting. His love, listen, for somebody to experience his love doesn't diminish the love that he has for me. It only magnifies it. And so he loves us. He loves us. So he takes us out of bondage, out from under the power of darkness, into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Why? Because we've been redeemed. How? Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We've been reconciled. See, reconciliation is a piece of redemption. And so he's been reconciled. How were we reconciled? He paid the price, the deficit that you and I had. How is that? By shedding his blood and sacrificing his body, doing what only that he could do. Isaiah 43 says this, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Let me just translate that for you. It's personal to Jesus. It's personal to him. You matter to him. It's not just throwing a blanket all over all mankind and saying all of you can be redeemed now. Redemption comes on an individual basis. It's not just, oh, because you come to church, you're redeemed now. It's not like that. It's because you yourself have grown to the throne of grace. You yourself have opened your heart and invited Christ to come into your life. And as a result of that happening, what does it say? He says he takes you out of bondage, out of being a self-reliant orphan, into intimacy and a secure relationship with God, who you can call Daddy. He knows your name. Let me say it again. He knows your name. He knows your name. Sometimes they say when you have a loud crash right before somebody says something, it really means something more to them. He knows your name. Redemption, however, has a downside. The downside of redemption is it comes with a very high price. It comes with a very high price. In our case, it's the blood of an innocent man, Christ Jesus. Hebrews 9, verse 14 and 15 of the New Living Translation puts it like this. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify your consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of the sins they had committed. Let's go back to these Coke bottles. Back to these Coke bottles. They showed up down at Mr. Cheek's store. They were muddy. Some of them were chipped. Some of the paint had kind of rubbed off. Some may have been laying in that ditch for a very long time. But along came Joe one day, picked them up, and brought them to the store. And those Coke bottles were worth a nickel apiece, which was very easy for a man with a $100 bill to pay that nickel apiece. I got a nickel apiece for those bottles because that's what they were worth. But you see, you were worth quite a bit more. I exchanged the bottles for the nickel. But when it comes to you and me being redeemed, Christ exchanged his life for you. He exchanged his blood for you. He was an innocent man that was beaten and murdered for you. He went to the cross for you. He told Pilate, look, nobody takes my life from me. I give it. You can't take my... I could call a legion of angels and wipe this whole city out in time it takes to snap my finger. But the reason I hold them at bay, the reason they're not coming to rescue me, is because all of heaven is waiting for this moment. Because God loves you so much, he was willing to give his life for you. And in doing so, he took you out of sin, out of trespasses, out of under the power of the devil, out from under hell's sentence, out from under the curse of the law, and brought you into a secure, loving, eternal relationship. Because when you come to Christ, you get redeemed. You get redeemed. You get redeemed. These Coke bottles left that little store in Hickory Valley. They went to Jackson to the bottling plant. At the bottling plant, they were sorted. They were cleaned up. They were sterilized inside and out. And the same beverage that went into them before, a new load went in. And then they capped it. And then they cooled it down. They put it on trucks and they delivered it back to the little store where I got the nickel apiece from. Why? Because the manufacturer said, look, you know what? I want to bring these bottles back, clean them up, and bring them back to their original intent for which I created them, to provide refreshment for people. Refreshment for people. Think about the prodigal son. He screwed up about every way you can mess up. I mean, he was selfish. He took his inheritance, left the house, thought he was smarter than his daddy, thought he was smarter than his brother. But it wasn't long before he had wasted and spent and had stolen and beat up. And all of his inheritance was gone. So embarrassed to to go back to his father. He got a job. His job was feeding hogs. And one day, in his hunger, starvation, he was being roughly and brutally treated. He looked up and said, you know, I'm thinking about the servants in my dad's house. Those servants are fed better than I am. Maybe if I go back to him and beg him, he will make me a servant. And the Bible says while he was a long way off, the father was standing on the doorstep of eternity, watching, waiting, hoping, dreaming of the day that that prodigal would come back home. And when he came back, when he saw him, he ran and greeted him. He hugged him, kissed him. I mean, I'm sure he wasn't smelling too good that day. He held him. He called to his servants. He said, go get the best robe. Put it on his back. Get some sandals for his feet. And bring me the family crest, the ring. And he put the ring on his finger. And he brought him back into fellowship with a big, big party. He said, well, why are you partying? Because this son of mine who was lost has now become saved. He was dead, but now he's back alive again. And you and me, we're dead in our trespasses. But there's a father looking, watching, waiting, hoping, dreaming, believing that every prodigal is going to make a turn and come back towards home. Because when you do that, he's going to run to you. He's not going to hold it over your head the rest of your life. Yeah, you get out there and be a servant. Maybe after 10 years, I'll let you back in the house. No, he said, no, come right on in the house. You put on the robe, put the shoes on, get the ring on, start the party. We're going to go for it tonight. Because why? Because he loved him. And that's why God redeemed you. I want to give just a news flash to you, okay? You and me, we're really not worth that much to God. He can do without us everything he wants to do. But guess what? He chooses not to. You know why? Because he loves us. He wants us in on the party. He wants us in on the deal. He wants us to have an intimate relationship with him, to know him and to love him. All our hearts. That's what redemption is all about. It's about the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The Bible is about the fact that even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us because he loves us. It wasn't a transaction. It was an act of love. He loves you. Let's all stand together. First service, we had one of our dear members, Tammy Finney. Anybody, any of y'all know Tammy? Yeah. A few of you know Tammy? Tammy's not in here now, is she? No, she's not in here. So I can tell the story. I'm going to tell the truth about it. April the 6th, that's yesterday. 10 years ago, Tammy tried to commit suicide. You know how she's going to do it? By jumping off a bridge onto I-20. She nearly succeeded. She nearly succeeded. Her life was, I mean, it was a story and a picture book of everything that could go wrong with a life. 10 years ago, she got down to the very bottom, and she cried out to Jesus. And I'm telling you, that girl has had and is having an amazing life since. And I'm so proud of her and so proud of them, she and her husband. I mean, they're great members here at this church. I mean, they're very active, very engaged, very involved. But she knows from the depth of her heart why Jesus redeemed her, because he loved her. He loved her. He snatched her right out of the kingdom of darkness, right off of death's bed, and took her out of that and put her into eternal life and a joy and a hope that only Jesus can give. And there may be people here today, you think, I'm near the end. I don't know if I can take it much longer. I don't know if I can do it much longer. Here's what I'd just say. It's just this easy. You don't have to get to the very bottom. You can stop right now. You can raise both hands up and just say, I surrender to you, Jesus. I surrender to you. Come into my heart. Lord, transform me. Redeem me. Lord, bring me back to the original intent that you had for me, that I could call you Abba, Father, that I could know you, that I could live and be in your kingdom. Would you bow your heads, please? If you're here today and you're ready to take your life to a whole nother level of surrender, to experience the redemption that's in Jesus Christ, I want you to just put both hands up. Just both hands up. Because anywhere you go in the world when you have both hands up, it's an act of surrender. And I want everyone to say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, today I surrender to you. Thank you, Lord, that you stand ready to redeem me. And Lord, I thank you that my heart belongs to you. Do with me as you wish. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. He's awesome. Now listen. We are rounding third base into Holy Week. Yeah, this whole Lent series has been about where we came from, but we're about to shift into where we're going to. All right? And so we've talked about preparing our hearts for Easter, for the resurrection, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. We've talked about, repentance. We've talked about the fact that we were depraved and unable to save ourselves. We talked about the fact that God came to reconcile us and make things right so we can make things right with him. And finally today, we talked about the fact that we've been redeemed. We were taken out of something to go into something new and something fresh. So here's what I'm believing. With you celebrating and pressing into Holy Week, that's next Sunday, next Friday night, and next the following Sunday, Easter Sunday, I'm just believing this, that when we come out of the backside of those three events, that you'll have a fresh new knowledge of God and a fresh new heart to walk in the good works that he's prepared beforehand for you. That's what I'm believing for. It's going to be an awesome, awesome time. So turn to your neighbor and say this, I'm going to be a bringer. Yeah. Now give him a high five. Yeah. A hug. And God bless you. Have a great, great afternoon.